Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Welcome back, folks. Obviously, Michael Heck has shed the jet lag. He's back, the full Monty, the full presentation, producing
my
show.
We're back, baby. Full frontal economic development. Not safe for work.
He put his firefighter's uniform on the side for one.
It's going to be one of those birthday parties, huh?
There's a calendar coming your way, folks, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, the men of economic development, that's going to fly off the shelves.
All right, Michael, 25 days from the game. We should probably call Jay Cicero and remind him of that. Folks, if you don't know, Jay Cicero hates the countdown.
I think Jay knows. I was just with Jay and his team in a meeting. We do these weekly war room meetings with over 25 different organizations led by Joe Threat, who's going to be joining us. And, I guess if I have to use an analogy, we see the runway. You know, there are some cross drafts, but we've got an experienced pilot, and we're just asking everybody to fasten their seatbelts, and we're going to land this thing, but we might have to brake hard.
Do me a favor, just remember to put the landing gear down for us, please.
Yeah, but as a precaution, can we just, foam the runway? this is belt and suspenders time. We're doing great. You can see it all around. The streets in the French Quarter are getting done. They're getting done in the CBD. The murals are now going up. This one from Carl Joe Williams on the Civil Courthouse is going to look beautiful. And the one that's going up now on Girard Street, as you go through to the arena and the dome, I mean, it looks like Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel, but did a second line. It's if you haven't seen it yet, people, drive by. It is nuts. It's beautiful. I saw the printing.
Look,
of the
big description doesn't pique your curiosity, nothing
right.
will.
No. I mean, it's really epic what Hellas Foundation and the Arts Council have done there. It's basically a fresco of the soul of New Orleans. It's everything that we stand for, and it's actually not going to be totally done by the Super Bowl, but the center part is done. And then I saw the printing of we're doing a massive 70-foot high Becky Foss that's going on the marble fascia of the Plaza Tower building. It's going to be big printed industrial Spanx just going on the building, holding it all in, slimming and beautifying. And then we've got other stuff going around the base.
Holding it together as well.
Holding it's kind of like Glissé meets corset meets industrial engineering. It's never before seen. I hope it works.
I think we lost the audience 5 minutes ago.
People have tuned out. They're like, I'm going back to NPR to hear about wokeism anyway.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, I drove down Poydras the other day about, I guess, 12 blocks. it was nice. My back didn't hurt. Neck was good. It was a beautiful ride. It's funny when you start noticing these things, right?
Well, it is, and I also think it's important. I mean, so what I'm kind of discovering is that infrastructure is kind of like pain. We don't have that much memory for it, so we documented before conditions, and then we're going to document the after, because I think we want to remind people how far we've come in such a short period of time, just to reset expectations. With proper focus and will, the ability does exist to do this. And the city can look like this. I mean, the improvements we're making are going to last for years, but the city can look like this all of the time. So we hope there's kind of a reset of what we expect out of our infrastructure.
So let's talk about the Super Bowl a little bit. Things have already started. The NFL's presence here is huge already. Some restrictions in place. But the Super Bowl is really so much more than just one night, right?
Yeah, the game is just 4 or 5 hours. That is almost the closing ceremony on what's become a mini Olympics. The activities really start the Monday, Tuesday before, and it's essentially a week-long event that's going to attract more than twice as number of people who can actually fit in the dome. So there's a ton that has to go right to get up to the dome, and then we're going to have 125 million plus people watching, 6,000 plus journalists. So I think describing it as a mini Olympics is accurate. I'm starting to read a book about Dan Doktoroff, who was the deputy mayor for economic development under Bloomberg. And I'm reading about how he used the Olympic bid for New York City for 2012 as a forcing function to do an enormous amount of work in the city, parks, parkways, building, transportation infrastructure. New York didn't get that. London did, but the infrastructure remained. And I think that was just another example of how we can use these events as a focusing and forcing function to create benefits that really have value, regardless of the event itself.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Super Bowl opening night, there's actually kind of like the Olympics, right? An opening night celebrating the AFC and NFC champions as they arrive in New Orleans, and that's held on February the 3rd. The game is on the 9th, right?
The 9th. Yeah. So,
and there are tickets available to that.
Yeah, so I think it's important that people know that there are, getting tickets to the game is expensive. It's kind of a Taylor Swift type of deal. But there are things that are happening that are absolutely directed towards the fans and are accessible. Newell, there's that opening night that you mentioned, which is on the 3rd. There is a Super Bowl experience, which is an immersive football festival, including the Vince Lombardi being promoted. And that's going to happen at the convention center from the 5th through the 8th. There's also a parade, which is, New Orleans does better than anybody else on the 8th. And so all of this information, folks can go to neworleans.com, neworleans.com. It's the New Orleans & Company website, and you can find information and buy tickets there.
Mike, let's pivot. Great news, the NOPD, under the consent decree. We're going to talk to Michael Glasser later in the show, the president of PANO. They moved to the sustainment portion of this decree. It's good news for the NOPD.
Well, it's good news, first of all, just from a morale standpoint. It's well-deserved recognition. You can look at the stats, or you can ask somebody on the street, or you can ask somebody who's been involved. I remember, talking to Susan Hudson, the sheriff, who was the monitor before sheriff, and she said this is a vastly different police force than the one that we had over a decade ago. So it's well deserved. I give a ton of credit to the NOPD, to Chief Kirkpatrick, to the administration who's pushed for this. And I also give credit to Judge Susie Morgan because, she wasn't, there were some motions that were filed this week that asked for something different. And she just said, no, I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to respect the court's process. And that right now is getting us onto this sustainment period. So it is hard won, and it's been tough medicine. It's been expensive medicine. But I think you have to objectively look at the process and say, if we get out of it now when we deserve to, that you know, it's worked. I mean, do you agree with that overall?
No. And look, you know, the scary part of this is 12 years under the consent decree. And I remember having that conversation with former Mayor Mitch Landrieu, you know, as he was trying to decide whether or not to entertain this situation. I said, they're not coming with a lot of money, and you're going to be involved with it for a long, long time. Those are two constants when it comes to consent decrees. And it's one of the biggest criticisms of these consent decrees. You know, there's another process called collaborative reformation, which I think is a lot more fruitful and a lot quicker, and you get to the end game a lot quicker. Why more people don't avail themselves? I don't even know if the federal government's still offering it, but it would seem to me that they would avail themselves of it. But yeah, I think, look, this is big news. And it's more in an indirect way of some of the things that it causes inside of an organization. But the sustainment period may be, and the chief and I talked about this on air, Michael, the hardest part of moving, you know, out from under the federal government, because now you're not having these immediate monthly follow-ups and stuff. You're kind of on your own, and you got to make sure you're staying, you know, you're teeing the ball up every morning. You got to be in the fairway, because they're not going to tolerate you being in the rough. There's no one there's no one standing in the rough with you to show you how to get back into the fairway. You know, so
That's true.
It's going to be interesting to see, but I think they're up for the task. Let's pivot real quick. End of the year crime stats, very successful, really look good. I like the fact that we're beginning to see longer trends of these successes.
That's right. So we ended the year with 124 murders being investigated by the police, which is 124 too many without question. But when we go back to the dark days of 2022, when we started the NOLA coalition, this represents an over 50% drop. It's a 53% drop from the level that year. So it's really significant progress and lives saved. And then when people come back and say, well, this is just part of national trends, the fact is that our drop in homicides is more than twice the national average. So you can't just say that we're riding the wave. Clearly, there was something that happened here collectively that was the result of NOPD and Troop NOLA and the DA and civic groups, Police and Justice, NOLA Coalition, that collectively, the schools reopening, just collectively, we're making a difference. And it's something to, just like getting out of the consent decree, it doesn't mean that we take our foot off the gas pedal, but it's an indication that we're driving in the right direction. And that should be encouraging. That should support this new culture. So I think it's worth recognizing how far we've come so quickly. And like you said, now seeing if we can sustain this so that it becomes the new normal or better.
Absolutely. Michael, I had the new director of the Port of New Orleans and the rail system on the show the other day, and I see that there's an announcement by the port being awarded $1 million from the EPA. They seem to be very successful in getting buckets of money from a number of different sources in order to move this LIT project along.
Yeah, I mean, the LIT project has raised over $1 billion from various sources, public and private. And that's important for two reasons. You know, one is that a project of this magnitude is not going to be financed in a singular way. It's what I used to call Frankenstein financing. You know, you piece it together, you stitch it together, and then one day it comes to life. Although, hopefully, unlike Frankenstein, it doesn't, you know, doesn't try to kill you. Doesn't turn on you. But the other thing is that the more public and private sources of support that you have financially, the more political sources of support that you have. And that's also important for a project of this magnitude. So this is a small part. This is part of the sustainability management plan, which is how they reduce environmental impacts. But everything matters. And I think the next major step we're waiting for is we expect fairly soon the report from the RPC, the Regional Planning Commission, that's studying the road, the special transportation road that's going to go from the port over to Paris Road 510 so that the trucks can stay off of the two major arteries. And that'll be, I think, the next logistical and political big step.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. You point out big year coming up in 2025 for the Sewage and Water Board. I guess a number of these projects that we consider upgrades will be coming to fruition. Tell us about it.
It's funny. With Sewer and Water Board, I was talking to Ghassan the other day, and it's a bit like the infrastructure. We don't have many boil water alerts anymore on the East Bank because of those hammer towers that were built on Claiborne. But you just kind of forget about it, that it used to be, you know, a couple times a month you would have these issues. So they've gone away. So, you know, the Sewer and Water Board knows that they're succeeding when nobody's talking about them. This next one is a major, major issue. It's going to allow the Carrollton Complex to directly line into Entergy and then use its own power as backup. It's historically been vice versa, and that's led to reliability problems. But now there's going to be a dedicated substation that's going on. SWIBNO is building its own power complex, and basically we're going to have Entergy as the primary feed going into that facility, which should make it much more reliable and prevent turbines from going down during storms. So, yeah, this is a big piece in the reliability puzzle. It was hard to get here, but a lot of credit to our state legislators, to the leadership of the city, leadership of Sewer and Water Board, the council that made this happen.
Michael, a lot of consternation, conversation about Governor Landry's most recent project to deal with the homeless population. I applauded it. I had a monologue on it the other day. It's not like we didn't know these events were coming our way. Human nature is the first impression is a lasting impression. And I made the observation, you know, people don't go home and brag about, you know, I was so encouraged to see how many, you know, homeless tents that were all over the city. You don't hear that, right?
People don't come back from San Francisco talking about, you know, how good it made them feel when they see what's happening on the streets, as an extreme example.
Right. Your thoughts?
I think that, well, first of all, I commend your monologue to everybody to go and find it on Audacity, because I think you lay out the argument in, you know, you're always on point, but I think you're particularly, your language is particularly plain and cogent on that. This is the right thing to do for many reasons. First and foremost, homeless advocates themselves, and this is quoted in the paper, have been asking for a transitional center where people can be triaged for medical care, for psychiatric care, for job training, where they can get a bus ticket home if that's what they want to do. Because taking people right from the street and then putting them into housing makes it difficult for wraparound services to be applied, because people have to go to every single house. In this case, folks are going to be consolidated where services are available, a one-stop shop. So it's actually logistically much easier to give people the support that they need. The second thing is that we're going to get snow next week. The weather might drop into the 20s. This is absolutely a humanitarian effort to get people, knowing that our low barrier shelter is full, into a space where they are going to be safe, they're going to be warm, where their pets are going to be cared for, where they can have a shower. So from a pure humanitarian standpoint, it just makes sense. And I think really what happened, and you said this, is that the model that has been working does have success under its belt, but it's going very slowly, and it appears to have stalled out. I think just saying, wait, we just need more money, belies what people are seeing with their eyes, which is that it feels like we've been going backwards on the homeless issue. And so what I'm hopeful is that we can work together, and I think we're going to work together on this, everybody, city and state. And we're going to have a system that's going to complement the existing Home for Good system, but provide a transitional center that is going to be more humane and more effective. And to your point, create streetscapes that give the public space back to the public.
Yeah, for sure. Michael, one last question before we get to the break, and we have our special guest, Joe Threat, who's the Deputy Chief Administrative Officer, Infrastructure, and Chief Resilience Officer for the City of New Orleans. That's a mouthful.
Just call him the man.
Because it would be unfair for me to put this question to him, because I've asked you before, and you told me that it was going to happen. Canal and Rampart by the theater. Still a mess. Was talking to some folks this morning, went to the Sanger to see, I forgot what's there right now, Juliet. They asked me, I get this question asked of me all the time. What's going on? Are they going to clean this up? Is it going to be done? Are they going to get the lights right over here? Because it's still a mess.
Yeah. In full transparency, it's the number one issue that we're looking at out of the 500 and some odd that we have is we talked about it at the meeting this morning. And there is a plan to get that done, get it covered up, get the lights working. It's important not just because it's a major thoroughfare, but also the NFL has its NFL honors, its Oscars event, essentially, at the Sanger. So that's a non-negotiable. And if it means that we're there, you know, putting in rocks and putting down, you know, asphalt, you know, on Sunday, the week before, that's what it's going to take. It's a non-negotiable.
I'm going to make Joe promise that he's got a shovel in your hand and that you're out there on that site moving some of that blacktop and so forth.
It would be my pleasure. It was what I said I was going to do with my personal pothole, but they took that opportunity away from me by fixing it.
With one added feature that they don't give you any gloves because you deserve some blisters on those hands for sure.
I do.
All right. <We'll> be... You think I'm demented?
No. I think you're pretty much on point.
We'll be right back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., and Joe Threat joins us when we return, Deputy Chief Administrative Officer, Infrastructure, and Chief Resilience Officer for the City of New Orleans. Stay with us.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, we are joined by Joe Threat Sr. He has been taking care of business. All of the projects that you've heard Michael Heck talk about and promise is actually on the back of Joe Threat. He's the Deputy
That's
Chief
right.
Administrative Officer and Chief Resilience Officer for the City of New Orleans. I don't know if you're going to be the master or the scapegoat, Joe, but we really appreciate all that you've done so far.
Thank you, Joe.
So much, Newell, and a good morning. You know, I mean, again, I'm a Marine, so we'll take whatever comes at us right now, and I got my hands full.
So obviously, a lot going on. Probably, I guess it's safe to say you guys are managing more projects than maybe you ever have before in this ramp up to the Super Bowl. Would that be fair?
That'd be fair, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. As you know, Newell, we've got our own portfolio of FEMA and HUD grant work, grants with stormwater management and our FEMA joint infrastructure road programs going on at the same time. And then with responses just to 311, other customer and resident related responses. And on top of that, you know, this enchilada, we've got all those. Started off at the 200 major projects that we're running to the finish line to complete prior to next week.
So at some point in time, this thing grew to 200 projects?
200 major projects, and naturally, when you look at, we look at the whole city with all our 88, 90 stakeholders. When you go across the board and you talk about energy, all the utility companies, Verizon, Cox, the NFL, Super Bowl Convention Center, and then other businesses around the area, downtown development district. And when you ask them, I'll all come in and say, hey, how does the city of New Orleans want to look to host this game? What are those projects we need to complete? And that's what basically initially built this list that we're working on right now.
And I guess the attitude that's been taken by your organization in collaboration with so many others that are assisting is that it's kind of welcomed, right? I mean, it gives us a reason to come together and get some things done that we haven't been able to focus on.
Yeah, Newell, and like from your experience in the law enforcement agency, once you've got a mission and you can convince people to get on board with that mission to beautify the city, to improve infrastructure that will last up to 10 years or more for the residents around the whole city. Once we got buy-in March and April from these 80-plus stakeholders, everybody's on board, and you'll see some of the results of our progress. The city's going to look a lot different once the NFL and their fans show up.
Joe, did you ever think that your department might be the biggest public relations marketing program that ever existed in the city of New Orleans?
No, I didn't, Newell. But, I mean, you know, when you look at the Arts New Orleans and all the murals that are going up, when you look at DDD and the improvements they made all over in the French Quarter, downtown development district, the civil court murals, the Hill Garage murals. I mean, the city looks different. I'm not a local, but I've been here 30 years, and it's looking different to me. And I'm really impressed and honored to be able to lead this group of professionals to make this city a world-class city. I mean, just if you look at Crescent City Connection, I get requests every day from someone who wants to. Just last night, we lit up the bridge in gold for the New Orleans Steamboat Company. So, I mean, it's a big deal for me, and I'm pretty excited and proud to host. And another point is we want to host another Super Bowl, so that gives us more incentive to move forward.
Absolutely. Obviously, a lot of transformation going on. Is there a particular project that maybe, you know, we're not in a position to get to that you got to that is, you know, one of your favorites? Is that a fair question?
Fair question. I mean, in the area of the warehouse district, naturally we wanted to get there. We've got some projects that are in progress right now that we wanted to finish. Leonde Simon, we wanted to go back in that area, and naturally we put Dowman Road and Lincoln Beach Boulevard, the old Hain Boulevard, around the golf course in our package that's complete. So, you know, naturally, we're working with city funds, so we can only go as far as our money.
It's always a limitation in so many different respects. Your staff, obviously the staff of the city, their mindset, I mean, a lot of these projects were over and above what they do day to day. And there's this definitive timeline, not to remind you of this, Joe, but you're 25 days away from the event, but really 15 days away from when this starts.
Oh, absolutely. No, we're well aware. And I think one thing about all my departments I have, under my purview, sanitation, public works, parks and parkways, I think that they are instilled with a can-do attitude. So, and we've got mature. When you think about the federal and grant work, bond work that we've had in construction, we've had more construction. When you talk about, you know, portfolios of about $4 billion in the last 8 years that we've been here, our construction companies are mature. They're savvy, and I think we've ran into every conflict you can imagine when you dig up the street in New Orleans, being a 300-year-old city. So I still have a level of confidence that a lot of the work, and I think one of them is on the canal, Iberville and Burgundy. We ran into probably five or six water conflicts there with valves that wouldn't open that we had to totally replace. We had to coordinate and collaborate with Sewer and Water Board. the utilities, energy, AT&T, and RTA to regrout the streetcar line. So it's a lot going into these projects that a lot of people wouldn't imagine, but we're working to coordinate. As I speak right now, my director, Rick Hathaway, is at this site right now.
Joe, this is going to sound like a crazy question as well. How fearful of you of opening up a hole in the streets of the city of New Orleans, not knowing what you're going to find?
That's my worst nightmare, Newell. And I mean, when I took over, came in with the mayor in 2018, and I've been involved in a lot of these construction projects, and the residents get frustrated. And I appreciate their patience as we move around, but we've got to stay focused, and the focus is we live in one of the oldest cities in the United States. When you open these streets up, you see some stuff that you never seen before. I mean, we've dug up wooden pipes, terracotta pipes. I wish we had another $2 to $3 billion of any of those congressional folks that are listening to handle the whole city. But I can tell you, when we dig up the streets with lead water pipelines and everything else, I've kind of hooked at the hip with Sewer and Water Board. We've ran into some major challenges, so it's really scary when you bring that excavator out to open the street and roadway up.
So Michael and I have talked a lot about these meetings, these collaborative meetings that you've had with so many stakeholders coming together, and I know Michael has an interest in that continuing forward. How's that worked for you guys, and how advantageous is it having, you know, all of these partners and in a lot of cases decision makers in the same room at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, take it. I mean, I'll answer quickly. What Joe has done is create an environment that creates positive pressure, because when you get in that room and he leads a readout every week, everybody wants to talk about their progress. It also creates an environment for coordination just organically, because you're in the same room together. So the conversations that happen before and after the meeting are probably as important as the ones during the meeting. And lastly, it just creates a culture of getting things done. It creates team spirit, which is important when you're pushing through such a big project in a short timeline. So I think the magic is just the culture that Joe has created and the effectiveness that Joe has created in these weekly call-out meetings.
And Joe, thoughts?
Yeah, Noel, and like, I don't have to tell you, anytime you're in any type of unified command or mission-oriented group meeting, you have to bring people in and make them accountable. And I think once you make them accountable and they accomplish the mission, then it gives them a sense of pride and motivation. You know, one of the recommendations that I've talked to some folks about it is, when we have Super Bowls, Mardi Gras, and I'm going to take this group right into Mardi Gras. We're going to take a week's break after the game, get the NFL's equipment and tractor trailers out of time, and we're going to go into deliberate planning for Mardi Gras. But it's something that we should be doing new for Jazz Fest, something we should be doing for French Quarter Fest, any major event, hurricane planning that we have in the city. And this is in coordination with the governor's office and the state and all those law enforcement, public safety. We all need to keep a battle rhythm going to where when we have major events in the city, we can come together and execute and make things happen.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us what's going on. And thank you for your attention and persistence in moving forward with these projects. But most of all, thank you for taking over the management of Michael Heck. We know that that's a handful moving forward.
That's the biggest job I got, Newell.
I would be remiss because a lot of people
Joe served
say
in
that,
Vietnam. Joe served in Iraq. He's up for the task.
Well, you might have thought he was. Joe, but thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate it. We'll be right back with Michael's final thoughts. Stay with us. So I remember one day my wife came home and she said to me, Newell, there's a fundraiser at your son's school and we're going to be on the home tour. And then we started doing things inside of the house that we wanted to do for years, but we didn't do. And we said, we just never really focused on it. And then we focused on it. And then maybe $15,000 later, we finished, you know, everything that we wanted to do that we just didn't do. Now, there's a method to my madness, Michael, because we're going to ask this question of you again. I get these texts every day. I appreciate the improvements you're making to New Orleans, but my biggest problem, there's a problem with it, is why is it all centered around the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Well, there's two answers to that. One is, why does it take a Super Bowl to spur this concentration of action? And the second is, why is it centered around the Super Bowl physically? So the second one is easy. You know, it's just the necessity of the Super Bowl means that the area that's going to have the concentration of tourists and journalists and the NFL is where we're focusing. The first question is harder to ask, answer. It's more of a rhetorical one, because at a practical level, it shouldn't require a Super Bowl. And we should be having this level or close to this level of activity in terms of building and maintenance all the time. And that's one of the reasons that I'm really pleased that Joe and the Gino Inc. board have agreed that we should keep up this rhythm after the Super Bowl, using whatever events coming next, whether it's Mardi Gras or Jazz Fest or Essence, as the next goalpost, as the next forcing function. There definitely is something to having a goal. It focuses the mind and creates spirit. But with all the events that we have going on in our region and our state throughout the year, there's no reason that we couldn't just have this rhythm going all the time. And that's the magic. It's just, you know, it's just creating the culture of accountability and action. And what I've discovered, Newell, is that we don't get things done for lack of money. We don't get things done for lack of ability. We don't get things done for lack of attitude or aptitude. It's just that sometimes there's a coordinating and catalyzing function that is missing. And I think that's what we've seen through the efforts of Joe and through, I think, what Gino Inc. and our partners have added for the Super Bowl season.
But we've all been there, right? I mean, what my lead in of my description of my home, I mean, you know, I know these things are there. It's just, you know, there just wasn't that motivating factor, whether it's a Super Bowl, Sugar Bowl, whatever it may be. In the end, I don't really care, just as long as we get them done, right?
Yeah, no, that's right. I think another thing that I hope comes out of this, Newell, is that when people see the city looking and feeling and even smelling better, thanks to what Sydney Torres is doing in the quarter, that's going to raise expectations, and we're not going to allow it to backslide, because we know we have the ability to have a city with clean, efficient infrastructure, and we don't have to tolerate potholes and create Instagram accounts for them just because, you know, we have to have black humor about our crumbling infrastructure. It's cute, but not so cute, and I think that we should have higher expectations going forward.
Absolutely. As always, Michael Heck, we truly appreciate your time, your insight. Have a great week, my friend, and I'm glad you were able to shed the jet lag.
Thank you, Newell. Stay warm. Keep your pipes wrapped.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. When we come back after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security, and Michael Glasser from Pano.